We shall read from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2, Chapter 4, Text 15. Please repeat. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Yat, please repeat, Yat.
Yat.
Kirtanam.
Kirtanam.
Yat.
Yat.
Smaranam.
Smaranam.
Yat.
Yat.
Ikshanam.
Ikshanam.
Yat.
Yat.
Vandanam.
Vandanam.
Yat.
Yat.
Shravanam.
Shravanam.
Yat.
Yat.
Arhanam.
Arhanam.
Lokasya.
Lokasya.
Sadhya.
Sadhya.
Vidunoti.
Vidunoti.
Kalmasham.
Kalmasham.
Tasmai.
Tasmai.
Subhadra.
Subhadra.
Shravase.
Shravase.
Namaha.
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 Yat kirtanam, yat smaranam, yat ikshanam, yat vandanam, yat shravanam, yat arhanam. Lokasya sadhya vidunoti kalmasam, tasmai subhadra shravase namo namaha. Again repeat. Yat.
Yat.
Whose?
Whose?
Kirtanam.
Kirtanam.
Glorification.
Glorification.
Yat.
Yat.
Whose?
Whose?
Smaranam.
Smaranam.
Remembrance.
Remembrance.
Yat.
Yat.
Whose?
Whose?
Ikshanam.
Ikshanam.
Audience.
Audience.
Yat.
Yat.
Whose?
Whose?
Vandanam.
Vandanam.
Prayers.
Prayers.
Yat.
Yat.
Whose?
Whose?
Shravanam.
Shravanam.
Hearing about.
Hearing about.
Yat.
Yat.
Whose?
Whose?
Arhanam.
Arhanam.
Worshipping.
Worshipping.
Lokasya.
Lokasya.
Of all people.
Of all people.
Sadhya.
Sadhya.
Forthwith.
Forthwith.
Vidunoti.
Vidunoti.
Specifically cleanses.
Specifically cleanses.
Kalmasham.
Kalmasham.
Effects of sins.
Effects of sins.
Tasmai.
Tasmai.
Unto him.
Unto him.
Subhadra.
Subhadra.
All auspicious.
All auspicious.
Shravase.
Shravase.
One who is heard.
One who is heard.
Namaha.
Namaha.
My due obeisances.
My due obeisances.
Namaha.
Namaha.
Again and again.
Again and again.
Translation. Let me offer my respectful obeisances unto the all-auspicious Lord Sri Krishna, about whom glorification, remembrances, audience, prayers, hearing, and worship can at once cleanse the effects of all sins of the performer. Please repeat. Let me offer my respectful obeisances.
Let me offer my respectful obeisances.
Unto the all auspicious Lord Sri Krishna.
Unto the all auspicious Lord Sri Krishna.
About whom glorification?
About whom glorification?
Remembrances?
Remembrances.
Audience?
Audience.
Prayers?
Prayers.
Hearing,
hearing,
and worship,
and worship,
can at once cleanse,
can at once cleanse,
the effects of all sins,
the effects of all sins,
of the performer,
of the performer.
Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The sublime form of religious performances to free oneself from all reactions of sins is suggested herein by the greatest authority, Sri Shukadev Goswami. Kirtanam, or glorifying the Lord, can be performed in very many ways, such as remembering, visiting the temples to see the deity, offering prayers in front of the Lord, and hearing recitations of glorification of the Lord, as they are mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam or in the Bhagavad Gita. Kirtanam can be performed both by singing the glories of the Lord in accompaniment with melodious music, and by recitation of scriptures like Srimad Bhagavatam or Bhagavad Gita. The devotee need not be disappointed in the physical absence of the Lord, though they may think of not being associated with Him. The devotional process of chanting, hearing, remembering, etc., either all or some of them, or even one of them, can give us the desired result of associating with the Lord by discharging the transcendental loving service of the Lord in the above manner. Even the very sound of the holy name of Lord Krishna or Rama can at once surcharge the atmosphere spiritually. We must know definitely that the Lord is present wherever such pure transcendental service is performed. And thus the performer of offenseless kirtan has positive association with the Lord. Similarly, remembrance and prayers can also give us the desired result if they are properly done under expert guidance. One should not concoct forms of devotional service. One may worship the form of the Lord in a temple, or one may impersonally offer the Lord devotional prayers in a mosque or a church. One is sure to get free from the reactions of sins, provided one is very careful about not committing sins willingly in expectation of getting free from the reactions of sins by worshiping in the temple or by offering prayers in the church. this mentality of committing sins willfully on the strength of devotional service is called namno balad yasyahi papabhuti, and it is the greatest offense in the discharge of devotional service. Hearing, therefore, is essential in order to keep oneself strictly on guard against such pitfalls of sins, and in order to give special stress to the hearing process, the Goswami invokes all auspicious fortune in this matter. Translation again. Let me offer my respectful obeisances unto the all-auspicious Lord Sri Krishna, about whom glorification, remembrances, audience, prayers, hearing, and worship can at once cleanse the effects of all sins of the performer. So we are at present in the sacred month of Purushottama. In the lunar calendar, every 3 years or so, an extra month is added to keep the lunar calendar in harmony with the solar calendar. And that extra month, or Adhik Mas, is extremely auspicious for spiritual performances. Every year there is a sacred month called Kartik, which is also very auspicious for devotional service. And the extra month, Purushottama Adhik Mas, is even more auspicious than Kartik Mas. Now, every conditioned soul in the material world engages in sinful activities. Now, what is the definition of a sinful activity, or pap, as it is said in Sanskrit? The definition is an action against the laws of God, the laws of nature, or the laws of God. Just like crime is an action against the laws of the state, so sin, or pap, is an act against the laws of God. And there are reactions for every action performed in the material world. There is a reaction. So generally, material activities are divided into pap, which means sinful activities, and punya, which means pious activities, or activities performed in accordance with the laws of God or the laws of nature. Or we could say the injunctions of the Vedas, which contain the laws of God. But there is another activity which is transcendental to both pious and impious activities, and that activity is devotional service, or bhakti. Because even the so-called pious activities in the material world force us to suffer in the material world. Because as long as we're in the material world, we are bound to suffer. And therefore, Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, the author of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, says that conceptions of good and bad in the material world are all mental concoctions, manodharma. Because everything in the material world is bad. The only thing that is good is that which will get us out of the material world, and that is bhakti, or Krishna consciousness. So, in technical terms, there is karma. Of course, karma has a broader definition, but in technical terms, karma means activities performed according to the Vedic injunctions. And vikarma refers to forbidden activities, or activities performed against the Vedic injunctions. And both of them bring material results. But then there is akarma, which means transcendental activities performed for the pleasure of Krishna. And those activities release us from material bondage altogether. Now, every one of us in the material world is suffering. We suffer in so many ways all the time. And our whole endeavor is to try to counteract the sufferings of material existence. So we build a house to protect us against the onslaughts of material nature. It's too hot, so we run the air conditioner, but it makes noise. It's too cold, so we put on the heat. It's a constant endeavor to ward off the miseries of material nature. But material nature is such that we will always suffer. The material world is like a prison for criminals who have gone against the Lord, gone against the Lord. And so in the prison, of course, you will be punished. The prison is not a happy place. And therefore, in the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna himself says of the material world, a Brahma Bhuvana Loka, from Brahma Loka, the highest material planet, down to the lowest, all are places of misery, where repeated birth and death take place. So, dukkhalayam ashashvatam. Dukkhalaya means a place of suffering. And ashashvatam means temporary. Even if someone is ready to compromise, all right, I know I'm suffering, but I have my wife, or I have my husband, I have my children, I have my parents. I mean, there is misery, but there's also happiness, so I can tolerate the misery for the sake of enjoying the happiness. But ashashvatam, you can't even do that, because everything in the material world is temporary. So you can't stay in your home, can't stay with your family members. You will be taken from them, or they will be taken from you. It is the law of nature. So, how to become free from suffering? Now, yes, this word sin, or pap, Srila Rupa Goswami explains that there are different phases. It's a chain. So one is the bij, the seed of sin, which is the idea of committing a sinful action, or you could say the desire. And there's even a more subtle form than the bij, which is called kuta. Kuta is a predisposition towards engaging in sinful activities, even before it is crystallized in a thought or a desire. And then one actually engages in the sinful act, and that brings further reactions. One reaction is suffering. We are punished by the laws of nature. And another reaction is that we tend to want to engage in more sinful activities. So it's a whole cycle. And devotional service is so powerful that it can eradicate sin in all of these different manifestations. Kuta, bija, aparabdha, parabdha, and so on. And that is mentioned in this verse, that one can become freed from the effects of sin, yat kirtanam, by glorification of Krishna, remembrance of Krishna, the audience of Krishna, worshipping Krishna, hearing about Krishna. These all cleanse the heart of sin. And then we become free. We become happy. And therefore, The gift of knowledge is the greatest gift. Suffering comes from sin, and sin comes from ignorance. Just like if someone is ignorant, he may drink some contaminated water and become infected, disease. So he can take some medicine and become cured of the disease. But if he continues to take the infected water, he'll continue to get sick. So he requires knowledge that the reason you're suffering, the reason you're getting sick, is because you're drinking contaminated water. So in the same way, we need to know what is sin, so that we can avoid it. Because as long as we engage in sin, we will have to suffer sinful reactions and be miserable. So this verse explains that to be protected permanently, one must engage in shravanam, or hearing. Otherwise, one can engage in kirtan and have a nice experience, but if one doesn't hear about the science of Krishna, one will be prone to engage in activities that will disrupt one's spiritual progress. So, and therefore we have the association of devotees, because one can chant and hear about Krishna in the association of devotees. And in that association, the process is very pleasing. Satam prasangat mama virya sambido bhavanti ridkarna rasayana kathada. Discussing the messages of Krishna in the society of devotees is very pleasing to the ear and to the heart. And through that process, Shraddha Rati Bhakti Anukramishyati. Shraddha, which means faith and attraction, and the different stages. Ado Shraddha, Tata Sadhu Sangha, Tata Bhajana Kriya, and so on. Then Rati, that means Bhava Bhakti, and then Bhakti in this verse means Prema Bhakti. But we have to spend time. Srila Prabhupada said practice makes perfect, even in spiritual life. So anything we want to perfect, we have to practice. Maybe we want to perfect playing a musical instrument, we have to practice. If we want to perfect some acrobatic feat, we have to practice. Whatever it is, we have to practice, which means spending time. Excellent musicians, they practice day and night. You know, same with acrobats, or dancers. They practice, and they become perfect. So if we want to become perfect in Krishna consciousness, if we want to become completely awakened to our eternal spiritual nature, which is eternal and blissful and full of knowledge, we have to practice these activities. And that it takes time. And that is a matter of organization. You know, when people are pursuing excellence in a field, they organize their time in such a way that as much as possible is favorable for the pursuit of excellence in their particular field. So if we want to become free, completely free of the miseries of material existence, then we have to perfect our spiritual consciousness, and that is a matter of practice. And we experience the more we chant, the better it gets. The more we hear about Krishna, the more we understand, the more we repeat, the more we understand. And it gets better and better. So that is a difference between material perfection and spiritual perfection, because material perfection, if you want to call it that, is still temporary, because it ends with the body. Dancers, they may, you know, practice and become excellent, but the body ages, and eventually they have to give it up. My sister was a dancer, and her husband, they met in dance class, but the body ages, you can't maintain that vigor. You just can't maintain it. What to speak of other athletic pursuits, and even other artistic pursuits. But the perfection of Krishna consciousness is not dependent on the body. The body can be breaking down, as everybody eventually will, but the Krishna consciousness remains intact. Recently, one of my godbrothers, His Holiness Naranjan Swami, went to visit one of our god sisters in an assisted living facility in southern Massachusetts. And our god sister, god brother and god sister means disciples of the same guru, is 95 years old. When we joined the movement at the age of, say, 20, she was already 50. She's like our mother when we joined. She's already like our mother. And she worked in the Bhaktivedanta Book Trust, typing for Srila Prabhupada's books. And she was a very staunch devotee. Her motto, which she always used to say, was basically, what is there to worry? Krishna can do anything. That was her conviction. So, about, that's 2006, she had a stroke. She lost a lot of her memory. And then since then, I think she's had more. And to the extent that she practically cannot remember anything, who she is. But she remembers the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. I mean, it is amazing. It's like, it's just so vivid. It's so graphic. It's like everything's been taken away in terms of normal memory, material memory. But she remembers the Maha Mantra. And you know how they are, the medical staff. They want to see how lucid you are. They want to see how cogent you are. So they ask, questions like, where do you live? And she didn't, from the material point of view, she didn't really remember anything. But she said, my home is Vrindavan. And the nurse is like, no, I'm asking, where do you live? She said, my home is Vrindavan. Then one of the devotees explained, what she was actually saying. She hadn't lost that. That was like so deep inside of her, she hadn't lost it. And the holy name, she knows, not only does she know every word to the Maha Mantra, but she sings it with tremendous spirit. I mean, you see that body, that 95-year-old body that has undergone many strokes. But when she sings Hare Krishna, it's like there's nothing else. It's beyond the body. It's totally beyond the body. And at the assisted living facility, I guess once a week they get together and sing patriotic songs. So she sings Hare Krishna. And she brings life to the whole group. I mean, she is like the favorite of everyone in the whole facility. Favorite of the patients and favorite of the staff. And they always want her to sing what they call the Krishna chant. They want her to sing the Krishna chant. So my godbrother Niranjan Swami wrote an account of his visit to her, which is available on the internet. There's a devotee website called dandavats.com, so you can find it there. And there's about 10 minutes of video clips of her. And part of it shows her singing. Her singing the Krishna chant, and it really had a profound effect on me. Seeing it really had a profound, because you could see just that Srila Prabhupada's mercy and the holy name had just gone so deep into her heart that they would never leave. They could like one of our great acharyas, Haridas Thakur. He was born in a Muslim family. And he was extremely popular. Extremely popular. This was about 500 years ago when most of India was under Muslim rule. And so the wazir, is sort of like a prime minister. He was advising the Nawab, who's like the emperor, that this Hari Das is born in a Muslim family. You know, he should be reciting the Quran, not chanting Hare Krishna. And he has a huge following. You should call him into the court and give him an ultimatum. So, they're the government, they could do whatever they wanted, so they arrested Hari Das. They brought him into the Nawab's court, and the Nawab said, Hari Das, you were born a Muslim, now you have become a Hindu. This is very bad. And Hari Das replied, what is that? So many Hindus have become Muslim. What is that if one Muslim becomes a Hindu? So he didn't like that answer. So gradually the discussion escalated, and the Nawab and the Wazir became really exasperated. So finally they told Hari Das that either you give up chanting the Hindu god's name or we will kill you. And Hari Das replied, you can cut my body into millions of pieces, but I will never give up Harinam. Now, seeing our god sister, Mother Aja, I was reminded of that because her body, I mean, of course, she wasn't subject to the tyranny of a cruel ruler, but just the ravages of time in the material world. It's like, you know, they can do anything, material nature can do anything to her body, but she'll never give up Harinam. Even if there's nothing left to her body, she'll never give up Harinam. So, the Muslim ruler said, okay, take him and beat him in 22 marketplaces, Bais Bazaar. And the beatings were so cruel that basically most people would die after being beaten in two or three of the bazaars. But there were 22, and so it's okay. So, and he said, you know, give me the news when he's dead. So they took him out, and they're beating him very ferociously with whips, clubs. He's just chanting Hare Krishna. This went on marketplace after marketplace after marketplace. And the Nawab was sending messengers, what's happening? Why isn't he dead? You're not flailing him hard enough. No. If you don't kill him, I'm going to kill all of you. So Hari Das overheard the talks amongst the constables of the Nawab. So he said, what's the matter? And the Nawab said, if we don't kill you, he's going to kill all of us. So Hari Das said, so what do you want? Do you want that I should die? They said, well, you know, it's not just us. We have our wives. We have our children. What will happen to them if we die? So Haridas said, okay. So he went into a very deep trance such that they thought he died. It appeared that he was dead. So they sent the news to the Nawab, but they weren't sure what to do with the body. Because, according to Hindu rites, he should be burned, cremated. And according to Muslim rites, he should be buried. But they weren't sure what to do. His position was ambiguous. So they asked the Nawab, and the Nawab said, he's not a Hindu and he's not a Muslim. Throw him in the river. So they threw the body in the river, and it was floating downstream. And then Haridas came out of his trance, got up on the other side of the river, and continued his Harinam, chanting Hare Krishna. So when that happened, because they wanted to make him an example, like what happens if a Muslim becomes a Hindu. So when that happened, everyone thought, oh, it's a miracle, he's a saint. It's true, he was a saint, and it was a miracle. And so even more people were following him. And when the Nawab heard, he had a change of heart. He thought, I've made a mistake. He is a genuine saintly person. I've made a mistake. And so he went to Haridas Thakur and offered obeisance and begged forgiveness. And he said, you know, anywhere you want in my kingdom, you can stay and I will give you all facility. So when one takes full shelter of the holy name, he's always protected by Krishna. Or when one takes full shelter of Krishna, and the holy name is Krishna, one is always protected. It's clear in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, yoga kshema bhajamyaham, that I preserve what my devotee has and carries what my devotee lacks. So you can see that, and that refers especially spiritually. It doesn't mean materially that I preserve what my devotee has. It doesn't mean, okay, I've got $250,000, so I surrender to Krishna. He has to preserve it and carry what I lack. Well, I want another. You know, it doesn't mean that, but it means that he preserves your Krishna consciousness, and he provides whatever you need for your Krishna consciousness. And it was seen vividly with Mother Isha. Whatever has been going on, strokes and being put in this facility, you know, it's like she would love to be with devotees. I mean, she can't really express her desire, but and she, her only living relative is her niece, and her niece is inimical to Krishna consciousness, so her niece will not allow her. And the devotees looked into it to see if they could do anything, but they can't, because Mother Isha cannot express herself, and her niece is just adamant. You know, she wants, well, she's fortunate in a way, but yeah, so she wants Isha to be there where she is. But Krishna has preserved her Krishna consciousness, and he has provided the association of devotees, even though she can't live in a community of devotees, but devotees are visiting her. They've told the staff that if there's, you know, any significant change in her condition, they must let the devotees know. So, yeah, it's amazing. So, yeah, in the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna says, Sarvasya Shaham Hridi Sani Visto, that I am situated in the hearts of all living entities. Mata Smritir Gyanam Apohanam Cha. And from me comes knowledge, remembrance, and forgetfulness. Krishna in the heart is neutral. So if we want to forget him, he'll help us forget him. Sinful activities, I mean, the real sin is to forget Krishna. That's the real sin. So these sinful activities, you know, say taking intoxicants, ultimately it's sinful because it helps you forget Krishna. Or eating meat, it helps you forget Krishna. It contaminates the consciousness. It pollutes the consciousness. So, Mata Smritir Gyanam Apohanam Cha. So if you want to forget Krishna, Krishna will help you. But if you want to remember him, he will help you. So Mother Isha, she wanted to remember Krishna. So she's forgot everything else because of the strokes. She forgot everything else. But that wasn't really her heart's desire. Her heart's desire was to remember Krishna. And Krishna's helped her. And when she chants, it's obvious that she is, her whole being is absorbed in the chanting. It's not like, you know, superficially, like, you know, chant with one hand, check my email with the other hand, or chant with one hand, rearrange the, tidy up the house with the other hand. When she chants, there's nothing else. She is just totally, totally absorbed in that chanting. There is nothing else in her consciousness. Hare Krishna. So are there any questions or comments? Yes.
Krishna
is keeping her alive because she's preaching to other people, and maybe not because of karma she's still. It's a very good question. Sachi Dulal Prabhu is asking, is Krishna keeping her alive so that she can preach, or is it her karma? Srila Prabhupada has explained that when a devotee surrenders to Krishna, Krishna takes charge of the devotee's karma and uses the karma to the devotee's best advantage, which in a way means the devotee is not exactly under the mechanics of karma, but under Krishna. But it's, to me, she is preaching, you know, by her example, she's preaching tremendously. and she's showing that you don't need anything to be Krishna conscious. You don't need anything material to be Krishna conscious. You just have to take Krishna in your heart. You know, Prabhupada's mercy in your heart. The holy name in your heart. That's all. And in a way, if she wasn't in the condition she's in, we would never know her glories, or the glories of Prabhupada's mercy, the glories of the holy name. So I mean, I would say it's Krishna. But in a way you could say it's her karma, but like I said, Krishna's taken charge of her karma, so it's not just like an automatic, mechanical working of karma, but it's Krishna's personal dispensation of her karma for the best purpose. There's another extraordinary disciple of Srila Prabhupada's in San Diego. I think she's 94. And she she's also very strong. Very strong. Physically and Krishna consciousness. I mean, a couple of years ago, she went to Mayapur to leave her body, but she couldn't leave it. She came back, but you're too strong. And you know how, you know, you lose your hearing, you know, one by one the senses become weaker and weaker. But she always hears the Maha Mantra in her mind. And it's so vivid that sometimes she doesn't know if it's in her mind or outside of her mind. And specifically, she hears Srila Prabhupada chanting the Hare Krishna mantra as he sings it on a record that he made when he first came to America. She's strong. She's also very popular. Once, I forget what she did. I guess she forgot to turn off the stove or something. She caused a fire in the building. The whole building caught fire. And, you know, but even after the fire, they didn't want to let her go. They said, no, she can stay with us. They're saying, we'll take her, we'll put her in a home. Or said, no, no, it's okay, we love her, she can stay. You know, it was a serious fire, I mean, and it spread. But yeah. But sometimes she asks, you know, why isn't Krishna taking me? But she comes every Sunday. I mean, she needs help, but every Sunday she comes to the Sunday program in the San Diego temple. Really staunch. Yes.
So, Maharaj, to be Krishna conscious, do you have to take initiation?
To be Krishna conscious, do you have to take initiation? Well, there is There's a question, which is why one would not take initiation. Because there is a verse that says that if one avoids taking initiation, it causes a very harmful reaction. But there could be circumstantial reasons. I mean, it really depends on the consciousness of the person. Would you like to share more of what's behind your question?
Well, I've been around for a little while, and I've not been initiated formally by anyone. And people keep telling me all the time, you should take initiation, you should take initiation. But I chant 16 rounds every day. I follow the four basic principles. My husband is a pujari in Jakarta. But I don't think that I should take initiation because people are telling me, you should take initiation because you don't know what will happen, you should take initiation, It's for my, I'm asking for myself.
Mm-hmm.
I've been around 26 years.
Mm-hmm. So your husband's initiated. So what's your question?
Because I don't feel like I am strong enough, so that something should happen to me, maybe I die or something, and I'm not initiated. I'm chanting, I'm reading, I'm offering, Am I not Krishna conscious then?
Being Krishna conscious is a matter of the consciousness. It's not a matter of the external activities. I mean, there's a process. What books have you read?
Mostly I read Hare Krishna.
Mm-hmm. Do you want to be initiated?
At some time, yes.
Do you pray for that to come?
I don't know if I'm praying for it to come sincerely. I don't know.
Well, yeah, it seems like your desire is not very strong to be initiated. So, just keep doing what you're doing and, as long as you don't commit any offenses, you can probably continue in your next life and life after that, and eventually you'll, your desire, we hope your desire will become stronger and you'll surrender. Surrender is something different. You can chant 16 rounds, follow the regulative principles, offer your food, read the Bhagavad Gita without surrendering. Yeah. Surrender is different. Spiritual life really begins with surrender. And surrender, one surrenders to Krishna through the spiritual master. It's just the process. So, what you're doing is good, but obviously there's something in your heart that's holding you back. And eventually you have to deal with that. But, if you were really chant, again, it's a question of the intensity. You know, if you really chant intensely and really serve intensely, that whatever it is, that'll get purified. But you have to want to be purified. And in that mood, like really throw yourself into the chanting, you know, throw yourself into the service. You can't hold on. That's an offense. To maintain material attachments, even after understanding so many instructions. So that's an offense. So like you're chanting, you're doing everything, but within your heart, you're holding on to your material attachments. It's an offense. Holding on to your material attachments means it's like this. You're not holding on to Krishna. You're not reaching out to who you're holding on. You're trying to keep it from Krishna. So it's offensive to Krishna. That's just... Hare Krishna. Any other questions or comments? Yes?
As we practice Krishna consciousness, as we read, we get some understanding about, like for example, the statement Krishna makes, happiness and distress comes as seasons. So when we're going through some challenge, one, the intelligence tells the mind at least that, you know, when you're going through a difficulty, this is a passing phase, or you know, tolerate it. But still the mind is strong that, you know, you still feel the misery or the pain. But so how does one sharpen the intelligence that the mind doesn't overwhelm, that you feel the discomfort instead of practicing more Krishna consciousness? I guess as we are faced with challenges, sometimes even though we theoretically understand philosophy, putting into practice and being patient with it seems difficult. You know, you feel frustrated, or at least sometimes I feel frustrated. I understand the theory or the instructions Krishna and the Vaishnavas are giving, yet if you feel sad that you are not following him, that you feel you're not practicing the knowledge that you have, that you're feeling sad, because something that you want or a challenge you have, it hasn't turned out the way you want. So how does one sharpen the intelligence to be more superior than the mind?
By hearing, by reading. It's exactly what Srila Prabhupada said here. Hearing, therefore, is essential in order to keep oneself strictly on guard against such pitfalls of sins, which is basically forgetting Krishna. I mean, all those others, sins, are really just ways of forgetting Krishna. So, yeah, it's the seventh canto of Srimad Bhagavatam gives instructions for household life. And Narada says that one should hear for 3 hours every day. And the householder who is sort of merged into the dream of material existence by hearing repeatedly, he gradually wakes up from the dream. The reason you're under the spell of lamentation is because you think the dream is real. You know, like, you may have a horrible dream, and you may be suffering in the dream, but when you wake up, oh, it's just a dream. It's just a dream. It wasn't real. So, by hearing, you know, but it takes time, like I said in the beginning, but by hearing, So you gradually wake up from the dream and realize, oh, this is just an illusion. Just an illusion means it's just temporary, it's not me. The soul's eternal, the soul exists beyond all this. It's a surrender. Krishna wants to save me, Krishna will save me. Krishna wants to kill me, he can kill me. Kill me means leave this body, no death for the soul. So like Bhaktivinoda Thakur's Psalms, Manasa Deha Geha Yogi Chumor Arapiru. But, Manasa, my mind, Deha, my body, Geha, my house and household paraphernalia, Yogi Chumor, whatever is mine, Arapiru Pade Nandu Kishore, I'm surrendering at your lotus feet. Jivene Marana, in life or in death, I have no one but you. So that's surrender, and that's has nothing to do with being a brahmachari, grihastha, vanaprastha, or sannyasi. You could be a celibate, you could be a married person. Surrender is surrender. Yeah, there's different, guidelines for different ashrams, but surrender is surrender. It doesn't matter brahmachari, grihastha, vanaprastha, or sannyasi. It's surrender, surrender. You belong to Krishna. Krishna can do with you whatever he wants.